This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. With me is Travis. And today we're going to be talking about some proverbs, and specifically proverbs that have created a theme of this caricature of a sluggard. It presents itself of this lazy person as almost like a caricature, like that you would see in a political cartoon or something like that. And it's is something that is, I think, just kind of hilarious how it points things out. But it's also just really interesting. So one of the passages of scripture, just to give you a picture of this, it says, "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He will not even bring it back to his mouth." And so there's this picture of a dude with a bunch of food on his fork, and he's like, "Nah, too much work. Can't do it. I'm not going to even bring it to my mouth." Another one says that a sluggard says, "The lion is in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard turns on his bed." The point of that is the sluggard always has excuses, and he just kind of flip-flops in his bed, and he goes back to sleep. And it's just this weird picture. Slothfulness is one of the seven deadly sins, and the sluggard is connected to being a sloth in this.
Yeah, sluggard isn't a term that we necessarily use a lot these days. I think of, you know, like slacker or lazy is a good one. I mean, that kind of depicts the caricature of a sluggard. Sloth, is it seven deadly sin? That's one of the seven?
Slothfulness, yeah.
Sloths are cool, though. The animals are cool.
Yeah, they grow moss on them because they don't so do lazy. Anything. Yeah. And so one of the things that is interesting is all the way back in Genesis, it talks about work being a part of it, and it's pre-curse. Work was always a part of who we are and what we are. And one of the things that God tells, and this is consistent throughout his people, is this idea to go and be fruitful, be productive, and you kind of take over the world. You have dominion over the world. It's a part of our original design. It's not a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also going to be something that is in heaven. We'll have jobs and we'll have roles within heaven. We often push laziness to a category of personality, and I think that is actually not a good thing. But because it's actually a rebellion against our original design.
Yeah.
And so if it's a rebellion against our original design, the Bible would declare that as a sin.
Yeah.
And that's how you get to the deadly seven deadly sins.
Yep.
And so I think it's just a fascinating study. We don't really talk about it. It's one of the more excusable sins, if you will. But it's something that is always there. The other part of it is work is not just producing food. There's work in every category of your life, whether it be relational or it be producing food for your family or whatever. There's always work. Even our salvation, the Bible says, work it out with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean that you work and earn your salvation. Jesus did that on the cross. But it does mean that there is this constant pursuit, this constant moving toward, sanctification. Work is, we recognize that God is the one who provides, but we still work. And we move in that direction toward that.
Yeah. I think we've talked about the concept of work in a previous podcast, but, you know, a lot of us just view work as the curse. And it wasn't like that. Like you said in the beginning, like we were called, man was mandated to work and to take care of the garden and tend it. And when sin entered the picture, that's when the work became cursed. It wasn't work as the curse itself. And like, we were going to toil by the sweat of our brows and produce the crops and all those things. And, you know, I can think of a lot of times where I've pushed off work. I wouldn't say I'm a sluggard, but I have been a procrastinator, and that reaps some not so great benefits, that reaps some not so good fruit when you push things off.
I think Proverbs kind of characterizes different things, and I think we all can relate to some of the characteristics that are in Proverbs of the unproductive person. And maybe that's how we'll refer to it at
make
this
it sound
point.
Nicer.
Yeah. But I think it helps to evaluate our roles as an employee, as a parent, as a spouse, as a student, as a follower of Jesus. And we can see and evaluate, are we being this unproductive person? The first thing that it talks about over and over is that unproductive people, they're slow to start. Mm-hmm. It says, sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. This proverb is really directly talking about the long-term effects of putting things off that we need to do right now. It is that procrastination. Plowing is really difficult to do. Harvest is a lot more fun because you can have a little snack as you go. And plowing isn't that way. And so, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it that. But that is a characteristic of a sluggard.
Well, and what's interesting, when plowing was super hard back then, because you had to hitch up the ox to the plow and like
John Deere hadn't
come along. Yeah, you didn't have the John Deere running through the field, so it was more toilsome. I think like with the seasons, and I grew up with some farmers in my family. The seasons, the way God created that is pretty interesting too, because that dictates some of the work that has to happen. And that can be found in our regular life too. Like you were saying, like if we push things off to tomorrow, it's going to hurt you today.
Yeah. The context of that verse though is all of the Israelites, if you know a little bit of biblical history, all of the Israelites, when they went to the promised land, every family was given a plot of land to work. And so it is a rebellion. In that moment, what he's talking about is a rebellion against God's provision. Mm. And we all have abilities to work, or maybe we have time. Not everybody has the ability to work, and there's disabilities, and the Bible talks about that. But if you have the ability to work and you waste that time, you're in that category of the unproductive person. In Proverbs 6, it is probably one of the most famous ones on it. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and a scarcity like an armed man. And what I think is so interesting about that is, one is the ant doesn't have anybody telling them what to do. But the second part of that is that idea of procrastination. And a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And I think that the part of the problem with the unproductive person is that they're easily distracted. And it's a series of things, not just a one time. We all have days where we're just off and we don't produce what we probably could produce, and we don't get the task done or the checks marks on our list. But in this passage, it's a little sleep, a little slumber. You know, so he's sleeping and then he's just kind of laying around, a little folding of the hands, sitting on the log, pondering the world. and then it says, and poverty will come like a thief. You won't even know what's happening because you've wasted your time. And so I think another thing is that in poverty or in this unproductive person is they're really easily distracted.
Yeah. And I think Solomon using the ants as the analogy for that is really cool, because they would live in the colony. Like they're, if you watch them, I've got kids that like to stomp on them. So we watch them from time to time, but they're always busy. They're always carrying like little grains of sand to move out of their little tunnels that they're making, or they're carrying, you know, a fly or something so that the colony can feast. And if they don't do that stuff, they are going to end up, you know, in poverty, so to speak. Proverbs 10:4 agrees with that. It says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. And so we talk about, like, you know, we work to produce things. And in our context, we're not, you know, producing food. Some of us might have a garden or something like that, or be a professional farmer and raising crops. But like, we have to produce something to earn a living, to earn an income, to buy our food, to take care of our families and our shelter. If we, you know, if you and I choose not to do that, we're going to survive for a little while, but life's going to be harder, and then poverty's one step closer.
Yeah, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. And that is just like, they're always looking for the next thing. They're always dreaming about what they could be doing. They're, you know, they're fascinated with everything. And the reason the sluggard doesn't have a harvest isn't that necessarily that they made a decision not to work, but rather what they did is they started off with the best intentions, and then something else came along. A little, you know, a little sleep, a little video game, a little Netflix binge, a little check my phone. There's always tomorrow. Those types of those things cause poverty and cause us to not to be that person that is distracted or that sluggard.
Yeah, and Proverbs 14:23 talks about that dreamer concept, the one that has all these grandiose ideas but never puts them into action. Well, it's good to have dreams, it's good to have plans, but unless you're taking steps to make those a reality, yeah, you're going to suffer in that stuff because nothing's ever going to come to fruition. Video games are a good one, especially if we've got any young listeners out there. We chatted about that in our youth group last night, and like, that can be a hindrance in your life. Like, there are distractions as adults, obviously, but like working with young people, video games and social media can just suck you in, and all of a sudden you're looking at your watch and like 45 minutes has gone by and you haven't done any of your homework or the chores that you were supposed to do.
That your mama told you to do, right?
And then you suffer the wrath of mom, right?
Yep. So you have this easily distracted, slow to start. And then the other characteristic of this unproductive person is he doesn't finish, or she doesn't finish what they started. Proverbs 12:27 says, "The lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt." And so,
I like that one.
It's like this picture of this dude going out and he shoots, I don't know, a caribou, and he hauls it back, does all the work for it. And then he's like, "Meh, I'm not gonna roast any up." And it's like he just didn't finish what he was supposed to do. And I think there's times where I think I can get caught relationally in that, where I just don't finish what I'm doing. I'm not present in that moment. Those types of things. The other thing that is a characteristic of the unproductive person, which is actually counterintuitive, is they never rest. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Another translation would be that the soul is never filled. This is talking about kind of the inner life, the tapes going off in your head. Not only the barns are empty with a sluggard, but their soul is empty. And we've all had days where you just put a great day of work in, you feel good about it. You go to sleep, boom, you're out,
yeah,
right?
Your head hits the pillow.
And it just feels good. But this laziness that's talked about here is you have an empty wallet, but it does something even worse than that. It actually hollows out your soul, because avoiding what God has called you to do is soul destroying.
And I think, like, you know, in those moments where, you know, I've got stuff that I like to do at home. We're getting into maple syrup season. And like, if you, last year we had sickness come through our house and like, it was prime time, like, all the sap had been stored in the buckets. It was time to get boiling, and I wasn't feeling good. And you have to, when you have to set that stuff aside and not produce when the time is called to the work to be done and the production to happen, like you get filled with a restlessness and an anxiety. And I think when we do that, you know, whether it's in work life or relational life, like those are the moments where anxiety comes in, the stress levels go up, and you just, like, you got to get it done. And when you get it done, then you feel, you sleep better at night. You feel more at peace. You've got more patience. Like, there's fruit that is produced with being diligent and working hard.
Yeah. There's a really cool picture that it paints of the sluggard, or the unproductive person compared to the hardworking person. And it says, "I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins." And in my mind, when I read that, I see this dude, he's walking by these fields, and some of them are just plump with grapes and ready for harvest. And he's like, "Wow, look at that." And then another one's filled with corn. And then he gets to this house. And there's a dude on the porch, you know, his belly's kind of hanging out. And he's kind of stretching a little, big yawn, maybe a Bush latte in his hand. And he's just sitting there. And you're like, what in the world? There's no sense in your head. You're going to have nothing in this moment. And then it contrasts that by these other fields and these other the productive person in there. And so the problem isn't the guy is just looks disheveled, but the problem is his property isn't keeping up. And it's not just his property isn't keeping up with the Joneses and it looks beautiful.
It's not just a blight house.
No. The guy's not going to have anything at harvest, and he's in no position to care for himself. But the reason we work isn't just to care for ourselves. And this is the other part of it, is that we work and it is a product actually of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all through the scripture. And in, I think it's chapter 21 of Proverbs, it says, the craving of the sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. And so that's where I get that kind of picture of the guy just sitting there doing nothing. All day long, he craves for more. But the righteous give without sparing. And what an interesting contrast there in that passage. Because the sluggard, on one hand, doesn't have enough for himself. And then it says, those who are righteous actually have enough to give away. And they're not sparing anything. They're not sparing something to be able to do that. They don't have no need to hoard it.
Yeah. And that idea of working as kind of an act of love makes a lot of sense. If you look at the passage in Colossians 3, where it talks about whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if you were working unto the Lord. Like, we're called to be stewards of the things that we're given. And whether that's your family or it's the employee boss relationship, like we're called to produce and be diligent at our work and work hard at it, not just for what we get out of it, but the benefit that we are then to the people that we work for and the people that we work with and the people that we provide for. You hit on something at the top of this part about rest, and, you know, being a workaholic is kind of the counterintuitive idea of a sluggard, but God knows that we need rest too, so that we can maintain our energy and produce. And hey, look at, he built in a Sabbath day that we're supposed to follow.
Well, yeah, even God does that, right?
Yeah.
He worked 6 days, but it was finished.
Yep.
It was very good.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't like partially done. And then I got to check my tweeter.
Yeah. Ephesians 4 is an interesting passage on work. It says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands. And then it says this, that they may have something to share with those in need. Love is the primary motivator of all of our work. We love God, as you said, and we work unto him, which is Colossians 3.
Mm-hmm.
We love people, and we work to create something to serve them in some way. We create resources to use and to help others. And we love people, and we love God. We worship God through our work, and we do it unto him. There are times where, I'll be honest, I don't feel like coming to work.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure the same is for everyone out there. Sometimes I'd rather not show up and, you know, to another evening meeting, or even sometimes on Sunday morning. I'm probably not supposed to say that. But I have to remind myself, I'm doing this as an act of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Our work has to be motivated by love. Rebecca, I think her name is DeYoung, wrote a book on the 7 deadly sins. And she said, slothfulness is a resistance to the demands of love.
Mm, that's good.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Laziness is a resistance to the demands of love. In one of the scenarios she talks about in the book, she talks about this couple that has a fight. And they go to two separate places in the house. And they're not getting along. They're staying away from each other, and neither one of them wants to come back and do the hard work of apologizing and reconciling their relationship, and they're not willing to do that. So they sit in their stubborn loneliness because they don't actually want to do the work. And the work is actually an act of love.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I think one of the attributes of a sluggard is that they don't want to face the hard things, and that's a prime example right there. They make excuses. Proverbs 22:13, there's a lion outside, I shall be killed in the street, says the sluggard. That's not really true, but we come up when we're feeling that place of pushing things off till tomorrow when they should be done today. We tend to make a lot of excuses, and it's whether it's in a relational context like that, like the work's not getting done, and it's going to be harder if you sit and stew over those things in that situation. Nobody's going to want to tear down that wall and build that bridge to reconcile. So it can be relational. It can be in our actual jobs or our parenting or whatever. It looks like we can be sluggards in many areas.
Yeah. I think the command that is clear throughout Scripture is that we are creatures that need to work. We need to produce. And that production happens in many places. It happens in the production of, you know, food, those types of things, shelter. It also happens in the production of our relationships with God and with others. And so if you're listening today and God's just kind of speaking to your heart, maybe you do have a place where there is just that deadly sin. I know I do. Mm-hmm. There are places in my life where I allow the deadly sin of slothfulness or being unproductive to creep in. And usually for me, it's not in my work. It's usually in coming home and relationally with my family, those types of things. I'm not as present as I should be. And those are just things that we can confess to God, and we can start to move toward that productiveness in our lives. And so that is good news you can use on Pearls and Swine.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you liked what we talked about or have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Email me, travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of our past episodes, you can check those out, Evangel Houghton. Search that on your podcast device, or you can go to our website, evangelup.org.